Well, hello, you guys, and welcome back to Talks with Tori, the podcast. I am once again beyond excited for this episode. I feel like today's guest, Milena, has been one of the most requested from you guys, and I don't even know what to say about Milena because she's literally, her and her husband Jordan are godparents to Micah. So if that says anything about how much I respect her and honor her and admire her and her wisdom and how the Lord's been working in her life and just her friendship in general, like, she is a true gem, a treasure from the Lord. And yeah, her friendship has just blessed me in so many ways. And so I'm very excited for you guys to not only hear our conversation, but just everything that she has been working on and how the Lord has been transforming her life and how she's been obedient to these things. Just so much goodness. But in true Talks with Tori fashion, I am going to encourage y'all just for a second, and you're going to know why I'm picking this verse, because it's very specific to something that Milena's been talking a lot about, and that is the armor of God. So we're going to go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. We're going to read it real quick. It says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm." And the one thing I just want to point out is that very first line that says, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." It's in his power, y'all. It's not in our strength. It's not in our husband's strength. It's not in our kids. It's nowhere else. It is in his mighty power that we stand firm. And he has given us the armor. He has given us the weapons to fight against the enemy. And so we can do that in confidence. And so anyways, Milena actually has, with my good friend Nava as well, a 90-page study on the armor of God. And so I'll definitely be linking that below, because I'm going to be going through it. I'm very excited to go through it. And it is just packed with so much truth in a way that is just, yeah, powerful. So anyways, without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Milena. We're finally here.
I'm so excited. I was going to say, I know you want this to be 30 minutes long, but I feel like it could easily become 4 hours. So we'll just have to really bring it in.
I know. We'll have to reel ourselves in. We'll have to like keep ourselves accountable, because yeah, I feel like we could go down a million different rabbit holes. Just for our listeners, Milena's like, "What do you want to talk about?" And I'm like, "I want to talk about this and that and this and that, and also maybe this." And I'm like, okay, I think this is going to have to be a multi-part something, because
one of going to part 7.
100%. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm just going to try to jump on in, because I feel like I have so many questions for you in this season. And I'm sure I probably already said this in the intro, but you've always been like my go-to girl when it comes to motherhood, to marriage. I just have felt like you, even though you're younger than me, you're in a season ahead of me when it comes to parenting and marriage. And I also feel like you have gone through the biggest transformation since I've known you.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, the person that I was when Tori and I first met is dead. She's not the same person today.
Well, it's been such a cool thing to witness, though, because I would have never thought anything of that Milena. You know what I mean? I'm like, I love that Milena. Yeah. Like, she was incredible. Oh. She was awesome. Like, she's my friend. But to see how the Holy Spirit has like convicted you in so many different areas, and then your obedience to the conviction, and like how you have truly, dude, like transformed in the last, I think, 2 years. Would you say it's like 2 years?
Yeah, I'd say I feel like the most radical change actually came after the miscarriage. I feel like my world was like completely flipped upside down, but the Lord used that in such a beautiful way. And I feel like it really put life into perspective. Not that I was kind of just lollygagging through life, but I feel like when you go through something so serious like that, it really makes you want to be like, okay, is my foundation on Christ or not? Because if it's not, then an experience like that can truly deter you and can truly, like, either you allow the Lord to work through that or you allow the enemy to take a hold of you and then go a completely different route. And so I feel like, honestly, I feel like my sanctification process has been so slow. And then after the miscarriage, it was more of like a slip and slide kind of effect.
Well, I even feel like I've seen it in your content where just all of a sudden I would see just different titles and I'm just like, yes, my girl, she's going for it. You know, because even genuinely, even as Christians, sometimes it's hard to like talk about hard topics because you know that people have experienced maybe just a wrong, skewed version of certain topics. And so watching you come into this like confidence where it's like, hey, I'm not ashamed of what the Bible says. And like, if you have a problem with it, you can take it up with the Lord. I'm not the one who wrote the script.
I'm just saying what it already says. I'm not reinventing it. I'm just preaching what it says.
I'm like, I'm just the messenger. Okay. Like, here it is.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you were nervous? Like when you sit down to like, cause you've literally talked about submission. You've talked about so many things lately that I feel like are like topics for some people. We're like, I don't know if I like that word. Do you get nervous?
I know. So the biggest thing that's changed is I sit on a topic for months at a time.
Yeah.
Before I actually like commit to obviously doing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Lord will slowly just really convict me about a specific topic. And then I feel like he like grabs me and like buckles me up into the roller coaster. And he's like, hold on, because I'm about to teach you a whole lot about this.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when I come out of it, then I'm like, wow, okay, I just learned so much about that. But honestly, no, like the biggest thing this year has been that I am here to serve Jesus and no one else. And so that means I'm here to please Jesus and no one else. And so honestly, I do not have like a fear or like, oh no, what are people going to think? Because I genuinely do not care what people are going to think because I know that the Lord has called me to speak about X, Y, and Z and I'm being obedient to him.
Exactly.
And so I would rather be like, Lord, I'm following and being obedient to what you're calling me versus me being disobedient and being like, I'm just going to please the people.
Yep.
Because I'm not, at the end of the day, the Lord's going to be like, well done, good and faithful servant, not you cowered away and I called you into this and you chose not to.
Yeah, I was reading in Philippians this morning and it was like, we have the joy of trusting in Jesus and we also have the joy of suffering with Jesus. And it's like a both and where I was like, I love that it's right there. It's like we have both. We have the joy of getting to trust him at his word, but we also have the joy of suffering. And so sometimes it's like in our obedience to him, suffering is also involved, but it's like, but I get to do it with Jesus. So it's totally fine. And it's like, I've known what walking in disobedience feels like and looks like in my life. And it's so not worth it. Just so not worth it. Okay. In different topic, I'm wearing a dress because because you're in this season of finding your style and wearing dresses every day. Now, I will say I'm not a dress every day kind of girl. Like, I just not fully
You're
me.
A jean girl.
Yeah, I'm a jean girl. I like pants. I like tops. But like modesty is something that I'm very passionate about. And I feel very uncomfortable when I'm not, when I don't feel modest. Like if I'm wearing something revealing, it's not like, oh, I feel sexier. I actually feel insecure. And so what has that been like for you too? Because when I met you, you were like street style. like street style, cute, yeah, different. Funny enough, I was, yes, on Pinterest yesterday, yeah, because I'm trying to figure out my pregnant style, because I'm like, oh, none of my jeans fit already. And so I have like one.
That's why dresses are great.
I will say,
they'll fit a bump no matter how big.
It's very true. Dresses do accomplish that. They do accomplish that. And I do love dresses. Like, I love this dress. I don't know if it's because I'm crawling around with Micah all the time that dresses feel kind of a, yeah, little bit harder for me right now.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out that style. But I was on Pinterest and I was like literally looking up pregnant style yesterday, because I'm like, pregnant girl in, mm-hmm, fall. And it was so funny because the picture that popped up was when we visited you in Michigan in the fall, and it was like your fall looks when you were super pregnant with,
really,
yes, when you were pregnant with
Evangeline.
Yeah,
wow. That's, yeah, with my pregnancy with Evangeline, I was doing like weekly blog posts, yeah, of like outfits in different weeks of pregnancy in case someone wanted to like follow up, or like, because you know, the more, yes, it's so different for dressing a 15-week bump versus, yes, a 35-week bump.
100%.
So, yeah, that's why I had done that. But, yeah, my style has changed so much.
Dramatically.
Very streetwear, very tight. Like, pretty much everything that I had was just really tight and more revealing.
Yeah.
But I had more of, like, a slouchy look to it. It was more casual and very masculine. Like, yeah, streetwear, I feel like, generally lean towards masculine because, mm-hmm, it's, like, oversized blazers and,
yeah,
bigger pants, but, like, tighter tops. Like, it's kind of like a mixture.
Yeah.
And I had always had the desire to dress more feminine, mm-hmm, but just didn't know how. And when I tell you, if you went inside of mine and Jordan's closet, you wouldn't be able to tell whose side was whose, because, really, our clothes were so similar. And like the only way you could tell my clothes were different is because they looked like my toddler's shirts, like they were small or like crap or like I'm not kidding you, sometimes just when we'd be putting laundry away, Jordan would be like, is this yours or Alethea's? And so I feel like for me, when I realized that was like an issue, I was, yeah, like, okay, I am a mother of, mm-hmm, 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 27 years old. I'm a wife. You know, I felt like the way that I was dressing was glorifying my body,
yeah,
versus glorifying the Lord. Mm-hmm. And again, after my miscarriage, that's really when I started wearing more dresses and skirts. Because, mm-hmm, before that, I was wearing shorts and stuff.
Yeah.
But after my miscarriage, my body was like just in this weird phase where like, mm-hmm, I still looked pregnant.
Yeah.
But like was kind of bloated, and like I just, my body was at this weird phase, and I didn't want to work out because I was like, yeah, I'm so tired.
Totally.
Like, I'm not trying to like lose this like baby fat, yeah, that I never even burnt. Like it was, yeah, just, it was a really weird season, and dresses just became so comfortable because they felt so natural. They were, yeah, so easy to throw on. They took seconds to put on, like, and I slowly just started really enjoying them. They were feminine. Like, yeah, I've yet to find a dress that, like, isn't quote-unquote feminine. Like, I feel like for the, mm-hmm, most part. Yeah. And 90% of them are modest, too. So, yeah, I feel like it just tackled so many things. And then I know you talk about, like, crawling with Mike on the floor. Once I started wearing dresses more, I started not caring so much about them.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm wearing a new dress every day. Like, mm-hmm, Evangeline literally pooped on my dress last week. I had like 3 giant, no, poop stains on them.
No.
And I was like, it's fine. I'll just throw it in the wash. And then I threw it in the wash and it was stained.
Do you want to know what I did this past weekend? That was probably one of those, you're actually joking me, Tori. Like, this is the, ugh, least domesticated thing you've ever done. So we're in Panama City, because we were up there, my girlfriend, who we've been praying for her to get pregnant for a very long time, we were celebrating her baby shower. Well, then the next morning, Micah got into my yogurt. Like, I had like a little, I drink these little like yogurt smoothies. They help with my acid reflux with pregnancy. And Micah got a hold of one and he just started drinking it. And I was like, you know what? It literally is yogurt. It's fine. But then he got it
just mm-hmm. everywhere, all over the floor, just like all over him, all over his new onesie that I'd literally gotten him like 2 days before. It was the first time he'd ever worn it. And I was like, you know what? There's a little washer dryer unit in our little condo that we're staying at. I'm going to throw it in the wash real quick. I threw it in the dryer. Yep, because it was one of those stackable ones. And in my head, every stackable one I've ever had, the washer is on the top, not on the bottom. And so I just threw it in the top and I pressed delicates and I like clicked on. I didn't even like look at what the, I mean, granted, keep in mind, it was like.
You didn't even put soap in.
Well, I did. I literally, because they just had the soap on the top. Like, and it was just like the powder one, you know, not like the actual detergent. And so I literally just like threw it on or whatever and like did the little stain thing on the yogurt, and then it was like, and you're done. And I pulled it out and it was hot and all the yogurt was like crusted on it, and I was like, okay, it's going in the trash. We like literally were about to check out and everything, and I was just trying to like do it before we got on the road so it wouldn't smell like yogurt, you know what I mean, and get really gross. And I'm like, yep, it was a little Amazon cheap purchase, praise the Lord, and it's going in the trash because it's not going in our car because it already smells like molded yogurt. And so not good. But I had, so I was watching your video, gosh, probably a couple of weeks ago now, when you donated or you got rid of like 90% of your closet. And it encouraged me, especially because I love going through my closet seasonally. And just like, if I didn't wear it the entire season before, like if it's my spring stuff and I went through an entire spring and I did not wear it, like it needs to go. And then I also love like if something new is coming in, something else needs to go out. But then I feel like I really just got lazy with that process for a hot second and have accumulated a lot. And something that you said was like, I actually really like dressing for my husband. Like, I like when I feel like my husband likes what I'm wearing. Like, it makes me feel more attractive. And so I actually
got that from you.
You did?
Yes. Do you remember when Nava and I, and that's biblical. That's like literally 1 Corinthians where it talks about like my body, your body belongs to your husband.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 7. Like that's literally what it's saying. Like your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your husband. So like, why are you dressing? Like you might as well dress in a way that he likes it. But yeah, when we, do you remember when Nava and I came into town?
I was like two months postpartum. I was in a state of blur.
Madewell.
Yes.
But we went, do you remember we went to Madewell and you wanted to get a new pair of jeans to fit you postpartum and stuff. And I remember you tried it on, you came out and you're like, Chad likes this style and da 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 da. And then you're like, I want to dress in a way that Chad likes me. And I was like, amen. I like that. I had never really
thought about it like that
before. Yeah. But I like that. And I hung on to that. And then, well, of course it was biblical. And so now here we are.
Well, it's true. And I honestly, I feel like I kind of started that in California, like when we got serious, like when we were engaged. And also the California style is so different than like Tampa, Florida style. And so I was like kind of coming into my own and kind of figuring things out. And I would always ask Chad, or he would be very verbal when he really liked what I wore. So I like picked up on cues. And for me, I'm like, you're the person I want to impress. Like, you're the one that I want to find me attractive. And so I got him to go through my closet a couple weeks ago.
Just now you did?
Yes. Like 2 weeks ago, I think. Smart. And I literally pulled every single thing out and he's like, it can go, it can go, it can go. And I was like, for real?
Wow. That probably made it so much easier though.
Oh yeah. Because I have like decision, I feel like I'm in a constant state of decision fatigue being a mom. And I don't know, like you have three, I have one right now, one on the way. And I already feel like I'm constantly in decision fatigue. Like when Chad asked me what I want for dinner, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Just give me some food. And then I'm pregnant. And so he's like, well, do you want this? I'm like, no, that sounds disgusting. He's like, great. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. That's like a whole nother.
That's a whole nother topic for sure. But it just, it helped a ton because I remember something else that kind of brought that whole thing up was I showed him two outfits and I was like going to a dinner. I'm like, should I wear this or this? And he's like, that, I actually don't really like that. And I was like, since when? Like, since when do you not like this outfit? I've worn it like 8 times. But I was like,
oh,
good to know. Thank you. I thought it was so cute.
Yeah.
And so now it's nice going in my closet and knowing that no matter kind of what I choose or pick out, it's like things that he likes and enjoys. And it makes it like one less thing to worry about through the day, because it's just, it's wild how many just random decisions, how many ounces of milk, how long has the wake window been? Like, there's always those constant little things in my head. But I feel like you've even talked about this recently. It's like cultivating that peace and those rhythms in your home. And you are the one that taught me to like close the kitchen at night. And I'm definitely in a place where if I don't close the kitchen at night, my peace is impacted the next morning.
Yes. It like that. My mom did that growing up. She wouldn't call it. She would say, like, literally she would finish, like, put the dishwasher to wash and be like, the kitchen is closed. Like, if you come in here in the middle of the night and get a snack, you're washing that by hand and you're putting it away. Because when I wake up in the morning, I want my kitchen spotless.
That's so good.
And I compare closing your kitchen to disobeying the Lord. Like, every time you close the kitchen, it's like obeying the Lord. You're so thankful you did it. You're thriving. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. Every time you don't close the kitchen, you regret it. You live, and then it's like living in disobedience. It's not fun. There's consequences. It's messy. It's ruffly. Yeah. Like, the two, I feel like, are a perfect explanation of you two. But yeah, I'm so passionate about that. And there, I mean, obviously, I feel like in different seasons, like postpartum, I remember with Evangeline, like I would just barely be getting by with like doing what needed to be done. But yeah,
you postpartum, though, you postpartum are another breed. Y'all, we came and stayed with them. First off, I don't know why y'all let us come. Like, me 2 weeks postpartum, if someone's like, can I come stay for a week? I'm like, I love you so much. No. it's just.
No. It was also our third baby, though. Like, I feel like, Anna, it was my first home birth. My recovery was so much easier than my previous ones.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I knew exactly. It does, like, get easier with each baby. And
I'll claim that. No, when she was 2 weeks postpartum and she's like, do you want to go to one of the biggest malls and just walk around for a couple of hours? And then we're going to drive and go to a wedding and like all of these things. And then I didn't know because I'd never had a baby. I was 26 weeks pregnant at this point. And so I'm like, oh, this is what postpartum looks like. This is great. She's crushing it. Her baby is on a perfect little sleep schedule. Evangeline was like an angel child. And then Micah comes.
Do you remember how consistent I was with her feedings? Like, to the minute.
Yes.
With her feeding, I remember I'd start having a letdown and I'd be like, oh, look, it's been an hour and 30 minutes. And I'd like feed her again. I was so like on a regimen with her.
Yeah, I tried that with Micah. He just was a different breed. He's, I think, just too, like, being a boy. He's just like, I just want the boob all the time. I'm like, okay, I am truly.
Boys and girls are very different in that sense.
A milk truck is what I felt like that season. I was just like constantly dripping milk, like everything going everywhere. And it's fine. It's beautiful in its own season. And I'm like excited going into the second to be like, okay, like knowing what to expect a little bit more.
Are you finding out what you're having?
Yeah, we're going to find out. But I think we're going to do it for Christmas because I turn, like, we normally wait for that like 20 week like anatomy scan because we feel like it kind of breaks up the pregnancy, where it's like, oh, the excitement of finding out and then telling everybody and then announcing and all of that's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, we don't want to lump in also finding out what the gender is inside of all of that. We want like something to look forward to break up the 9-10 months or whatever it is. And, and so anyways, I'll be 20 weeks like at the very beginning of December, and that's when we're going to be like traveling and stuff. And so we're like, you know what, we'll just wait, and that will be because we're not a huge like bunch of gifts on Christmas. Like we want to do a lot smaller of a Christmas and like very intentional things and more like experience driven type stuff. And so we were like, that would be so fun to look forward to on Christmas morning is like opening up a gift and finding out like if we're having a boy or a girl on Christmas.
That is so cute.
Isn't that cute?
That is so precious. And so I'm like, that's a really good idea.
I'm like, it's such a gift from the Lord. And I feel like it's like Jesus's gift to us on Christmas. You know, like here's your gift. It's a boy or it's a girl. And so Chad actually mentioned it. Chad always has those good ideas. And so he mentioned it, and now I'm like stuck on it. I'm like, now that's what we're going to do. We're going to wait till Christmas. It'll make all of it so exciting. But okay. Oh. So, I could talk about that. Yeah, I just feel like that's so perfect. But I want to switch over topics because I feel like I could rabbit hole on just that trail for forever. And you also have been so adamant, and you know, like this has been a passion of mine since, gosh, before we met. But I feel like so much of what we've talked about is like the power of prayer in our life. You just came out with a 90-page ebook on the armor of God and the power of prayer. And I have yet to fully dive into it. I have like looked, and I want to like print it out and have that time where I like know that I am like diving in and going through it. But what was that process like for you? Because truly the scripture and the context behind the entirety of these 90 pages is so small, but y'all have expanded on it like crazy. I just need to know a little bit more about this whole thing.
The way that it even came about was so interesting too, because I wrote it with Nava.
Yeah.
And Nava is such like a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. And I'm always so encouraged by her.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's so crazy how like if you just listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting, like everything makes sense. Like now that study's been out for like a month or so, I'm like, wow, with everything that's happening in the world, I'm like, wow, that was so timely. And it's like, it's as if God didn't know this was going to happen. You know, like he just knows everything. And I'm so thankful that we listened to the Holy Spirit when we did, because it's just so timely. And I feel like women just don't feel equipped in some areas. And like the armor of God, like feels like equipment to put on and like how to put it on. And like, even though it's obviously a spiritual thing, the Lord just uses that. And when we walk and understand what God's word says, then we have authority in that. And then we have a deeper understanding. And then it just bleeds into every area and it bleeds into our children.
Yeah.
And I don't know, have you talked about Halloween and stuff on your podcast yet?
Girl, or like, I have not, but if you want to dive in, I will dive in because your girl is not a fan.
I was just going to say, like, with Halloween happening, like, we've explained to the kids, like, we literally tell the kids, like, we need to armor up today.
That it's like, demonic?
Like, what is our sword? Yes. Yep. Like, we really do. And it's given me a really good opportunity, too, to, like, share it with my kids.
Yeah.
But then it's also been so beautiful. So the way that we laid out the study is, like, I feel like we made it really easy for someone who has just cracked open their Bible for the first time in 5 years.
Yeah.
And also someone who's probably been a believer for 15 years. I feel like we kind of cover such a large range of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's been so cool to see how like women like have a different understanding of scripture just by understanding Ephesians 6, like just by understanding all that's in there. And I know that there's just so much. That's how we were able to get 90 pages, and we had more than that.
Wow.
Like we really had to like reel it in and tone it down.
Wow.
But yeah, I can't wait for you to go through it because I feel like you'll really enjoy it.
No, I know that I only was able, like I downloaded it and got it and all the things. I went through like the first couple pages and I remember crying and like, oh my goodness, I don't want to read this on my phone. I want to print this out because I'm such a paper person. Like I like to highlight, I like to mark things up. I like to doodle on it. Like, and so I'm like, I just need to print it out and I want to literally put it like in a little binder or like make a little book out of it. And that way I can really go through it. But it's so good. Mm-hmm. And I want to know too, like what does your, because mine looks different in different seasons. Just when it comes to like prayer strategy over your family, because I've, you shared something recently about like every month or something, you'll do like one page over each person. Is that how you're doing it right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. I find that that's just the easiest way to, and I kind of keep all my stuff together because then it's like every time I'm about to open my Bible, I open up my prayer journal first.
Yeah.
And then I just spend some time praying. And then I feel like just because I'm writing them down, I remember what I'm actually praying for.
Yep.
And then my absolute favorite part is when and how I see that prayer get answered. Yes. However that ends up going. And like, I don't want to say that like I get to check off when God answers this prayer because sometimes he'll answer a prayer in a way that wasn't even how you had ever expected him to do it.
Yeah.
But I love looking back and seeing like the seasons that I was in or like, and even just it, so much can happen in just one month that you forgot you were praying about or that you forgot was an issue that like the Lord resolved so quickly and like moved through something so quickly. I've also developed my prayer closet, which has been so fun. And it's literally just in my closet.
There's I love it. You're newly really cleaned out
other
closet.
Than my body in there.
Yes.
Yes, that's true. That is true. And so that has been so fun because there are some moments like I really have enjoyed having it because there like one thing that the Lord has really been teaching me is to tame my tongue, especially when it comes to talking with Jordan or just being submissive and just not feeling like I just word vomit all the time.
Yeah.
And so one of the ways that I feel like that helps me a lot is like if I find myself getting really flustered or frustrated or just anything other than the fruits of the spirit, I just take my butt in that closet and I sit down face down until I feel like I'm able to just lay it at the feet of Jesus and work through it. And then I literally come out of there a completely different person.
Yeah.
And then it's all fine. And I'm like, wow, that was wish I would have gotten to that habit years ago because it's been,
it'll change your marriage.
It's really, it'll change your life. Yeah. Like it'll change everything. It literally 100%. Just bleeds into everything. And I feel like that's why I'm so adamant about moms spending time in the word every single day, no matter what that time looks like. Like, I don't care if your toddler's literally on top of your Bible, like going and drooling through your pages or like you only read a sentence because like that one sentence, you can meditate on that all day long. And I feel like just because Alethea is about to be five. So I've been a mom almost for 5 years now. And so my prayer life and my Bible time, like, looks so different than when it did when I before I was a mom, but I feel like that feels so distant that I don't even remember what that looked like. I only remember this, and so
you're also
even
so
to
different.
Me, like if I only do, yes, that's that true too. But just even if I get to read a sentence, I'm like, wow, that was really good. You know, like I feel like my expectations, like just everything, just looks so different. Yeah. And I don't feel guilty if I don't read X, Y, because I used to I used to read so much before I had kids.
Well, it's just different. It's a different season. Like, there's something that my mentor recently shared with me. I actually just posted this on Instagram the day that we're filming. Because I always keep on, like, I love ambiance on the TV, probably because it's like our living room is like the focal point and center of our home. And so there's this one YouTube channel. It's like TD, oh goodness, I'll have to link it below, but it literally has like these 3-hour YouTube videos, and it's like either on waiting for the Lord, on healing, like there's different topics, and it's just instrumental worship music and verses. And so like every few minutes, a different verse will come on. And so like, as I'm walking through the house and there's like instrumental worship playing, and then I'll look up and there's like a new verse. And there's been so many times where that verse is so applicable to like what I'm walking through in that moment mentally, where I'm like, that's so like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. But then also something she said, because I do have a hard time opening my Bible around Micah because he'll rip the pages. And that's hard for me. Or he'll take my highlighters and open them and then like try to get them on the couch or something. So right now he's dangerous. I'm like, right now I don't trust you around my sacred Bible. Okay. And so what she encouraged me to do, and it's been so fruitful, is open up my Bible and leave it on the kitchen counter, because it's too high for Micah to get or to grab. But if I'm like making a drink or making some food or whatever that might be, my Bible is just open. And there's, I've just noticed there's so many moments where normally in that moment, I'd probably just pick up my phone, but because my Bible is open and right there with my highlighter, like ready, I'll just walk over and have my drink and like read the next sentence or two, or like if something stands out, I'll highlight it. And it's just been that nice reminder, to be like, oh, like the living, breathing Word of God is right here and he is present in my home, but it is my job as a mother and as a wife to cultivate his presence in my home. And I'm either shifting the atmosphere, or I'm shifting it in a positive way, or I'm shifting it in a negative way. And I just feel like having it open and in front of me is like that constant reminder of like, how am I impacting this space? Like, am I bringing more joy and more peace into my home, or am I bringing more stress and frustration? Because I mean, we talk about this all the time, but if I don't get time with Jesus, I do not like that version of Tori. I'm so much quicker to like get frustrated. And I'll tell you, this pregnancy, I've actually struggled with like managing my emotions. Like I've actually like gotten more frustrated or more angry. Like, and that's never been an emotion I've ever really like wrestled with. I feel like I'll get sad or I'll like cry, but like frustration or anger has just never been something that I've like really struggled with. So I'm like, what in the world is going on? And so for me in this season, I am like, okay, I have to be this much more intentional to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. And if I'm not connected to the Spirit, then I'm going to very easily allow my circumstances or the things that I can't control to like impact me versus being able to actually control my responses.
Yes, that's so good. And I feel like as women, that needs to be talked about more, because I think we just say, well, I'm on my period, or I'm pregnant, I'm tired, I'm crabby. And it's like, no, you're supposed to have self-control no matter what time of month it is. Like the Bible, like one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And that's one of them. It doesn't say like when you're feeling happy, when things are going right, when you're during your, when you're ovulating and like in a great mood versus like when you are menstruating and yada, 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 yada. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot that we actually learn about ourselves during those seasons, because it really, it does shake you. And it's like, where's your foundation at? Is it in when you're in the joy? Is it when things are going right? And if you get shaken, are you like, what's going on? Or, you know, so yeah, that what you just said reminded me of the Proverbs where it talks about a wife can either bring and build up her home with her own two hands, or she can completely tear it down with her two hands. Her own two hands.
And it's that time to like take responsibility for that, you know, and it's not something to be fearful or nervous or any of those things. I feel like that should be empowering to be like, man, the Lord has given me this role to steward. And what a blessing that I can bless my home in this way if I'm abiding in Christ. And when you talk about like self-control, and another translation, it's self-discipline. And I feel mm-hmm. like it's the fruit of the spirit that not enough people give credit to or pray for enough. Like, I think when we think about mm-hmm. the fruits of the spirit, we so often think love, mm-hmm. patience, kindness. But mm-hmm. I feel like if we don't have self-discipline, then we don't get yeah. into the word. And there's so much mm-hmm. that comes from the fruit of self-discipline. So it's like, to tame yeah. your tongue, you have to have the self-discipline mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. And I was also yeah. reading in Philippians where it's like, that you would show the completion of your salvation with complete reverence and devotion to the Lord. And it was talking about how that the Lord is currently working in you to do the things that he desires. And so it's like, without mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit working and active and breathing inside it, we don't even desire to do the things of God. And so I think so often as like Christian women, we can think that it's like, oh, it's me doing these good works and like, look how great I acted today, you know, and like, look how well I followed Jesus today. And it's like, that was all the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes we give ourselves a little too much credit because it's like, we wouldn't even desire the things of God if he was not working, breathing and acting inside of us. But I've been so passionate about the fruit of self-discipline lately, because I just feel like it's the foundation of where so much else starts. It's like, well, I don't even want to get in the word if I don't have the self-discipline to open it. And it's like, our feelings are so fleeting, you know? It's just like, gosh, why don't I feel close to the Lord? And it's like, okay, well, the Lord says, press into me. What is it? I've been saying this verse all the time. It's the Lord says, man, I'm going to forget it, but it's pretty much, you come to me and I'll draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. But it's like, we mm-hmm. aren't taking the responsibility that what happens first there, we draw near and then he draws near. And it's not like he's not around and like with us, because it says he never leaves us or forsakes us. But it's like, if we want to experience him in our life and actually have eyes that are open to see what he's doing and where his hand is active, it's like, we have to draw near. We have to open our word. We have to have the self-discipline to do these things and create these rhythms. And gosh, it's so good. And I feel like we could talk about that forever too. But I also want to talk about the fact that y'all just came out with the coolest app that I've ever seen. And when we were going through it, I literally started crying because I was just envisioning when Micah gets a little bit older, and I'm already going to start using it with him, especially like just the audio and having that play. But like, I want you to talk more about it, but I'm just going to tell you, I had this vision of like printing out all of the little like printables and putting them in a little binder, and as the track is playing, him coloring with his younger sibling, and I was like, I'm not okay.
I'm so glad that you like it. And I feel like a lot of what we even just talked about is where our heart was when we developed the app. Because again, as a mother, you have the authority to cultivate peace in your home. And when you were talking about having that YouTube channel playing, the two things that are played in our house all day long are hymns and the Bible Story for Kids app. Because one, we love hymns and they're just so soothing and so calming. But then the other one, whenever I just want to get into the word with the kids, but aren't always in the mood to story tell or aren't always in the mood to like act things out for them. Like if there's just a quiet moment in the house, I just plug it in and they just will sit there and you can just see their imagination like flourishing and they're thinking of these things or they're coloring or whatever. But yeah, the app has been such a big blessing. And when we were working on it, I cried every single time we had a meeting. Like, and I still do. Like, there are just moments where I'm like, wow, the Lord just made it possible. I know nothing about apps. Like, let's just make that very clear. Either. I am not a tech person. I am not, like, that is just not my thing. Like, I enjoy editing videos, and that's, like, the extent of my technology capabilities. So the fact that we were even, like, the Lord literally just opened up every single door. So, like, it felt like every time it was just, like, double doors, like, whoosh,
Like this,
if we
is
would
exactly.
just fly through the doors of making. Yes, and it came together so fast. Like every single idea that we had, just like boom, 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 boom. Like wow. It was. It's been so cool to experience the Lord in that way.
Yeah.
And then we've just been praying so hard for like so many families to be impacted, because if you can get to the heart of the child, you can get to the heart to the parents. And if you can get to the heart of the parents, you can get to the heart of the grandparents. And then like it can like impact so many people. Yes. And I feel like I've even grown and learned so much too, because when you become a mom, you really have to be able to explain these really theologically
complex.
Deep conversations or like these like, yes, very complex things. Yeah. You have to be able to explain it to a three-year-old because it is important for your three-year-old to understand salvation. It is important for them to learn obedience and disobedience. And God's word is the absolute best tool for that. Like a
literally
question that I ask my
instruction manual.
Yes. Like moms do not need any book other than this one. Like truly it has everything that you will ever need. A question that I ask my kids every single day is like, what giant are you facing? Did David run away from his giant or did he run towards his giant? And who was on David's side? Like it doesn't matter how big your giant is. It just matters that God is on your side, because then if God is on your side, then it doesn't matter how big or small the enemy is. Like time and time again, that's a theme that happens. Like these small little armies of like 100 will defeat these hundreds of thousands, and it's like it just doesn't make sense. And so you can apply so much of this, but also your kids understanding and hearing a child read it, I feel like is super important, or just having it summarized and just having it like Deuteronomy 6, it says that we are to teach our kids diligently about God's word, like from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, when you're dwelling in your home, when you're like, and so I feel like this app gives people an opportunity to pop it on in the car, put it on when their kids are sleeping, put it on when you're eating, put it on when you're like going for a walk. Like it truly gives you an opportunity to live out Deuteronomy 6.
So good.
And it's screen free, which is like my favorite part too. Cause I feel like the other thing is like, I was always able to get the kids to watch Superbook or like some type of show, but then it was like a show. We were glued to the TV. We were glued to the couch. And so I feel like this just opens up the possibility to go anywhere, anytime, and still have accessibility.
And they're sponges right now. You know what I mean? It's like they're literally at the age where they will soak this in. Because I feel like as adults, we don't soak in information as well or as quickly as children. And so it's like, I feel like so many people get caught up in this lie from the enemy that they're too young to understand or hear these complex ideas. And it's like, it's literally the opposite completely. And I'm so thankful that I grew up in a church that literally took whatever the adults were learning and they just taught the same thing to the kids, but in a way that we would understand. And my mom talks about this all the time. I think I've shared this on the podcast before, but my brother, when he was little, he almost got kicked out of his kindergarten class because he was biting. And my mom didn't, like, they didn't tell my mom until literally they were like, hey, if he doesn't stop doing this, we're going to have to like kick him out pretty much. And so my mom pulled me out of my little class and was like, hey, we need to pray over your brother. And I guess my mom tried to say like a very childlike prayer, just so that, she's praying with her kids. So like, obviously, you know, it just feels right. Mm-hmm. And I apparently at like, I don't know what age, I was like, hey, mama, I got this. And I like laid my hands on Christian. I was like, I bind the enemy off of him right now in the name of Jesus. He's not going to bite any more children. And she looked at me and she's like, did you just bind the devil off of your brother? And I was like,
I love that.
But it's like, I see Alethea talk
I
like that all
so
the time.
I can see you doing that.
Well, I could see Alethea doing that, you know, because she's a little sponge. And so it's just like, man, no, this is exactly the time to teach them, because this is what they're going to be raised up knowing. And I was just talking to a girl last night and we were talking about, man, the voice that we speak to our children becomes their inner voice later. And so the responsibility of that to be like, okay, the way in which I speak life over my child and I speak truth into their life is literally going to be the inner voice that they play when they're old enough to really like make decisions on their own. And I hope that my voice is so reflective of the Holy Spirit and so based on biblical truth that when they think about what would mama say, like what would my mom say in this situation, that it is something that fully aligns with something the Holy Spirit would lead them in. And that when they really recognize that transition of like, oh yeah, when I'm young, like I'm thinking about what my mom would say, but when I get a little older, I really can lean in and be like, oh, this is the Holy Spirit speaking to me and leading me and guiding me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thou preach. That's so good. And that's so true. I ask like I feel like there's phrases that I use all day long. I feel like when you get into the stage of parenting and like mothering where you are constantly like doing and like addressing the same thing over and over again, you really do need these like go-to little statements to make. Yeah. And one of them that I probably say the most in their house is, are you speaking life or are you speaking death?
Yep.
If you're speaking death, you need to go back and you need to speak three words of life over that person. And if you're speaking life, then good job. We wouldn't be having this conversation. But it's just like, that is just like my go-to because it just helps them. Remember like, what am I saying? Am I word vomiting? Am I just speaking what I want to speak? Yeah. And then it teaches them at a really young age how to tame their tongue.
Yeah.
Because if you're taming your tongue, then you're most likely speaking more life than you are death, because you're aware of what you're saying. You're not just word vomiting everywhere.
Yeah. So the girl that I was actually talking to last night on the phone is the girl who does the like Christian hypnobirthing course. I that word always kind of messes with me a little bit, but it's more about like filling your spirit and meditating on God's truth. And I was talking to her and we were
I love that app.
It's so good. It's so good. I think you were the one that told me about it. But anyways, she'd reached out and she was like, hey, by the way, like I would love to just have a conversation with you. And I'm like, sweet, would love that. I've listened to your voice more than you probably want to know. And so it was weird getting to see her like face to face. I'm like, I've fallen asleep to your voice many times. And I was telling her one of my regrets during my labor was I felt like I almost wanted the people in the room to know how much pain I was in. Like I almost felt like they didn't believe like that I thought I was going to die. So it was almost like I needed them to know that I felt like I was on the brink of death. But with that, I felt like I started speaking death over the process, where I was no longer saying in my weakness, he is strong. Or I was saying like, I don't feel him here. Like, where is God? Instead of saying God has never left me, he will never forsake me. He is here. Whether or not I feel him in this moment, I can lean on the truth that I know he's here and like lean into that. Yeah. And so she was asking me like, is there anything like going back? And I'm like, well, there's so much I learned, but we just got on that topic of speaking life or speaking death. And I was like, man, I spoke so much death over that process. And I felt like so much changed when I finally shifted to know I can do this. Like I can do this through Christ. And it just, gosh, that principle in every single area of your life, whether it's parenting, whether it's marriage, whether it's friendship, you know, like I feel like that even bleeds into like gossip, right? It's like, man, the taming of our tongue, are we speaking life or death over our friends? Are we building up? Or are we tearing down? That's a whole nother conversation. And we've been talking and we're out of time. And I just feel like we could talk for so much longer.
I know.
I feel like I have so many more questions. Darn it. Okay.
It's okay. There's always time for more. Y'all are going to come into town too. So we can do more.
We'll do it in person, which is always even better. But okay. I love you. And I want you to share just like some of the things. We'll link everything in the description where people can find you and where they can download all the things. But if you just want to share like what you're working on and where they can find things too.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on YouTube. It's just Melina Cicciotti. My husband and I have a podcast together called As For Me in My House. And now we have our app, which is Bible Stories for Kids, which is available on anywhere where you can get an app.
Yay! Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so proud of you. I feel like I like constantly have these proud friend moments with you. You know, when you're just like, man, I love that girl. You just see things and I'm just like, oh. Aww. You're just so awesome. Okay.
I love you.
I love you. Great, I'm sure I'll text you here in a little bit. Okay. I love you.
All right.
We'll talk soon. Thanks for coming on. Bye. Okay, you guys. Oh, I enjoyed that so much. She is so refreshing to my soul. Every single time we talk, I just feel so encouraged. And so I hope that's exactly how you feel. I do just want to thank you for watching, for subscribing, for liking, for sharing, for leaving reviews. All of these things mean so much to me and just help more people find the podcast. And so if you can think of one friend that this podcast would encourage, why don't you just take a second and send it to that friend? You never know how it will lift her spirit today and how God will use you to encourage her heart. And so, anyways, love you guys, and I'll see you next Tuesday at 2:00.